Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we know that your descent with a shout was the spirit of wisdom, knowledge, revelation of Him. For this hour, knowing, Lord, that that would be brought to us, and as your word said, the people would know their God, and it would not be a matter of saying, to those do you know God, but in the bride there would be real definitive knowledge, and we believe that's what this message is all about, is you as that great person, Lord, and seeing your complete fullness as has never been seen before. We ask you, Lord, to help us to understand the things that the prophet has set forth in his word. Preach to us in this sermon, Father, because that's what our heart is set upon at this hour, to know these things. Not that we would force issues, Lord, but by grace we would believe that you would help us to receive the revelation that has been given to us, so we might understand it. At least, Lord, as far as we are able to go, and if there is a limit, then we know that that is perfectly satisfactory. Because, Father, we would just leave it in your divine sovereign will. So help us this morning, Lord, as insofar as appropriate with thy divine will in this hour, your divine commission. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Come up to about page 14, and who is this Melchizedek? And I think this is number 13 this morning, if not 14, somewhere in that area. And I want to read some paragraphs out of pages 15 and 14, and I will not read them in the chronological order that Brother Branham gave to us, but I will read them sort of at random as I want to do so. Beginning in 15 and 70, before the foundation of the world, his name's put on the Lamb's Book of Life. We talked about that. Then from that he became the Word, the Theophany, that could appear, disappear, and then he became flesh and returned back again, resurrected the same body in a glorified condition. But you bypassed the Theophany and became flesh man to be tempted by sin. And then if this earthly tabernacle is dissolved, which of course it will be, except for a few at the end time, we have one already waiting. We have not yet the bodies. That is to say, the word bodies are thus theophanies. But look, when this body receives the Spirit of God, the immortal life inside of you, it throws the body in subjection to God. Hallelujah. So you haven't received either that theophonic form, and you haven't received the immortality, though you have the Holy Ghost that guarantees it. Now, the second one I'm reading is paragraph 65 on 14. When Abraham met him, he was Melchizedek. He unfolds here what all the attributes will do in the final end, every son of Abraham. Every son of faith will absolutely do the same thing, but I want to watch how we have to come. Now, how we have to come and then finally get there is something he is bringing out in this message. Paragraph 64, one above it. Now, God in this stage of his creation later formed into flesh Jesus. From what? From the great beginning Spirit. Then came down to be the Word bringing itself out. The Word doesn't yet make itself, it just spoke out on Morpha. Later he becomes flesh Jesus, mortal to taste death for all of the sinners. Now you notice he said the name is on the Book of Life, then it's spoken, and then it takes that form. Now he's talking in terms of coming down through Jesus. Now the fourth one we read is 67. Now we see the attributes, sons of his Spirit, have not yet entered into the worm-formed body, a theophany. This body, but a word form body. He said, but a theophany. He's saying here that they haven't entered into a theophany, a word form. They've entered into a physical form. This body is subject to the word in earnest, waiting for the earnest change of the body. Paragraph 68. Now, the difference between him and you as a son. See, he was at the beginning, the word, an anamorpha body. He came and lived in that in the person of Melchizedek. Then later, we never heard any more of Melchizedek because he became Jesus Christ. Melchizedek was the priest, but he became Jesus Christ. Now you bypass that because in that form he knew all things, and you have never yet been able to know that yet. You came like Adam, like me. You became from the attribute to the flesh to be tempted. Notice the word became. There's a progression there, which means something was already there in the beginning, and that has come on down. And of course, at this particular time, it's come down through flesh. And if you die, then you go to the word form body, come back and pick up your glorified body. But if you don't die, then you meet your you'll get a glorified body, pick up your theophany sometime before in the air before the wedding supper. Now it says you became from the attribute to the flesh to be tempted. But when this life is finished here, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. That's where we go. That is the word. It's not just the word that says it's the word, but that's the word body. Then we can look back and see what we've done. Now we don't understand it. We have never become the word. We've just become the flesh man, not the word. All right. That sort of gives you an idea what we are into. And maybe I can do a little bit on the board. Maybe I can't. But we'll see just what we come up with here. To begin with, we just take a look at God Himself, and we find God is eternal spirit. So we make a circle which signifies eternal spirit. Writing uphill's not too good, and getting this stuff down where it works isn't too great. All right. Number one here, we have... it's not going to be too good, is it? Let's try this one here and get a little more power, maybe. So, A, here we have eternal spirit. Now, that's what you're looking at, eternal spirit. Now, within the eternal spirit are two major governing attributes which control all principles and anything and everything that will come from God or be a part of God in any shape whatsoever. And of course, that is omniscience and omnipotence. Now, we know before omnipotence ever went into any play whatsoever that omniscience had thoroughly done its work. So, now down here then, we realize that nothing is there, wherever there is, but God. And in other words, there is nothing created. At that point. So, we just keep that in mind, and then you listen to what I'm going to read. This being so, here is a conclusion or statement that we're going to draw. Thus, if anything would manifest prior to creation, anything would be there at all, which we read about in Colossians 1:12 to 19, which we'll read shortly. It is evident that the manifestation would have to be none other than the Spirit itself. And that Spirit being the eternal Spirit of God, then both manifestation and manifester is one and the same, which is God, which is Spirit. There's nothing there but God, and whatever comes, no matter what it is, apart from a creative act, it would have to be that Spirit. Now, don't get confused just because you don't see spirit. It's very strange that animals literally can see spirits. Man can't. Now, I can't tell you any scripture for that, but I think it's been proven many times that animals have a sort of a sense that we don't have, and they can sense and see things that people can't see. Now, if you go into spiritism, you'll find that's true. Where a spiritist in a room can bring something that an animal will see, and a dog immediately bristle or a cat bristle and begin to spit and bark and what have you, whichever animal's there. And they know that something is there. Like when that blob of light that was seen in Boston, and you saw a picture in Light magazine, was photographed by a policeman who drew his gun to shoot at it and then thought better of it. When it passed over a barn, the horses immediately began kicking frantically to break away. And they couldn't see it, but there was a presence there. So what I'm trying to get to you is this, that you've got to let your thinking go and realize that you cannot take revelation as brought by Brother Branham and attempt to reduce it to something you're familiar with. You've got to go beyond your own familiarity. And it's easy to realize this, that there's nothing there but God, then anything without God creating something extra, whatever that is there, would have to be intrinsically somehow God. So, all right. I mention here that Colossians 1 is what we were going to read. I'll take this slowly, maybe for the next 3 to 4 hours. I don't know how long I'm going to do, because I would like to finish this up, and I don't know how I'm going to finish it to go on the rest of the message. Now, Colossians, it says, 12 to 19, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's the only begotten one. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him are all things created, there in heaven, there on earth, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist or maintain, for he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Actually should read, for in him all the fullness of the Godhead was pleased to dwell. So you're looking at a picture here again of God being in Christ. You can never, ever destroy that principle of this, the same yesterday, today, and forever, that what God does is in a pattern. So God was in Christ. And that's exactly how that was done, creating all things by Christ Jesus. So, let's look again at the 17th verse. For he is before all things, and by him all things are maintained. Now, he is before all things. Before any creation whatsoever, he is before it all, and he is responsible for it all. Okay. Let me just read here. First, he was not even God. We would just call him the Eternal One. He wasn't God because the word, English word, God means object of worship. And there was nothing to worship him, so he was the Eternal One, the main fountain of all intelligence. Now, we have up here then a fountain up here, and the fountain will bring forth not bitter and sweet water, it'll bring forth only one thing, which is spirit. That's what it'll bring forth. And then until, of course, it enters into creative acts. And then it brings forth outside of itself. You understand? It brings forth outside of itself something which is a manifestation or a product, something done. But what comes out of God himself would be essentially God. You know? You couldn't get anything else but that. That would simply be God's Holy Spirit. So, all right, he's back there, and he's the fountain of all intelligence. That's the omniscient one. And in the fountain of all intelligence, there was not an atom, a molecule, anything, light anywhere, star, moon, nothing else. God, what we know as God, the great spirit that was eternal, never did begin, never would end. He was there. And in him are attributes. His attributes to be God, then his attributes to be a father, attributes to be a son, attributes to be a savior, attributes to be a healer. All these attributes were in him, and now all things that have unfolded since then are just attributes being made manifest. So what you're looking at there then is the essentiality of God himself, what he was within himself, and that can never change. That's simply God, period. Then God begins to move according to his omniscience and his omnipotence, and then he can do anything else he wants, and it will always be according to the attributes within him. See? So that God is all and in all. And anything then you understand that is extraneous or critical to or a hybridization will all be destroyed. So it goes back in the beginning, go back to the beginning, what it was in seed form, pure seed form, now perfectly manifested in its product of manifestation that God wants. That's why when we spoke on the New Jerusalem, it's a little foreign to people's thinking to look and say, that's God and the fullness of God manifested. See? Because it is. And we would say, well, I think maybe I would have a little higher scheme than God's. Shows you how stupid you are. Because that's exactly what the devil said. I will ascend above the Most High. I've got better thoughts than he's got. I've got better plans than God says. You will go down where men will narrowly look at you. You think you're so big. You think you've got thoughts. Anybody this morning thinks he's got thoughts above the prophet. Let me tell you, you are sick spiritually. And I won't say stupid, but I'm sorry I already said it. I have a way of double-crossing you and myself. All right. Now, what I mean attributes his thoughts, and the word is a thought expressed. Then that was in his thinking, and when he said, let there be, there was, let there be. So therefore, after God was in this solitary pattern, he begins moving out of the pattern of the solitary, because now he begins to grace himself in a complementary manner. And that would be by one which would be creative. But there's something beyond the creative, and I want to just read a little further. Now, remember, you Christians were his thoughts before there was a world. That's right. Then your name was put on a book. Then when your name was called, you had to start forming. And your name was called, you're in your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother. You come on down, down, down. And you come down to the point where you were called out of a sperm and an egg. Give where the natural election was, and predestination, called out. So you begin to take then from a spirit form, you begin to take then a tangible physical form. Okay. Before there was even a world, you were in Christ. Amen. In God in the beginning. Why? Because God was in Christ. Never changed the principle. That makes you then, you see his subjects. And the whole thing is God. Seen and so forth. The whole thing is God himself. Materializing himself tangible so he could be handled and seen and so forth. Now he's talking about you and me in there. See? That's why John said we handled the word of life. And there's a relationship. The big son and the little sons. And that's what God is, the whole thing. Like the whole thing of the seals was Christ. Now watch. The first creation was God himself. Now that's a sticker right there. Who created God? Nobody. God was. He's the beginner. Then out of God came the Logos, which was the Son of God. Then out of the Logos, which was the Word, came forth the man. Now that's an absolute statement of chronological fact. Out of God came forth the Logos. And as usual, I never know where I'm at. Somewhere, but I really can't find it too much. Well, that's now. Let me go back to my statement. There's nothing there but God. Thus, if anything would manifest prior to creation, which you read about in many scriptures, it is evident that that manifestation would have to be none other than the Spirit itself. And that Spirit being the eternal Spirit of God, then both the manifestation and the manifester is the same, which is God. Right? Well, it's got to be. What else are you going to do with it? Okay, now listen. Now, no one has seen God. Now, the next thing we begin to see, what's the first thing we see? Nobody's seen God. That's a major premise. Did you understand? Nobody's seen God. Nobody can see God. It's impossible. You follow? Now, just keep alert here, because this is good thinking, is what the prophet said, and I'm going over time after time with you, because I want it so thoroughly in my mind, when we come to what appears to be an absolute contradiction on Godhead. Now, you want to pass the ice cubes? I want you all awake. Anoint your eyes with ice cubes. I'm going to go home. I'm very serious, because this is deadly important, what we are saying. Because Brother Branham said, you have got to say the right thing or you are finished. That's why this church stands on no nonsense. We are either right or we are wrong. There is no lukewarm. There is no sitting on the fence. We have turned a corner. And I'm reading what the prophet said, and I've read my notes here, which I write down, and I think I have the Spirit of God. Now listen, no one has seen God. Number one statement. Have you ever seen him? No way. No, you haven't seen him. And you can't. No man can see God and live. He's a form of spirit. Now, the next thing we begin to see by eyes of supernatural looking, we see a little light forming out there. Now, no creation at all. Brother Branham uses the word forming. What or who is doing the forming? God is doing the forming from God himself, which Brother Branham will call a part of God. Are you listening? Getting the picture? Now remember, we're close to Trinitarian doctrine. And don't think the Trinitarians don't have a leg to stand on, except they're trying to stand on three legs. And you can't stand on three legs because you don't have three legs to stand on. In other words, a tripod is always in balance. And they think they can balance. That's human, but it's not God, because God is not three persons. He's a triunity. Now, the doctrine of Brother Branham, based upon vindication, is between Jesus only and Trinitarianism. Quote William Branham. Which I'll read, maybe, as time goes on. So something begins to form. And if it's something forming, it is already something which can be formed. So, all right, there's something forming. We see a little white light forming. What is it? That was called to Bible readers the Logos. In the beginning was the Logos. The Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. So whatever is here that we are looking at is either a manifestation, which is of the manifester, so that the manifestation and the manifester is one and the same. Now, you could come a Trinitarian out of it by producing out of the great fountain one coming forth, which is the Son. We don't buy that. And yet we do buy it. We follow Brother Branham. Now, this is tough. And I'm not saying I've got the perfect answer. I'm going over and over with you to see what Brother Branham says and see where we go, because we must go by what he said. All right, what is that? That was called by Bible's Logos, or the anointed, or the anointing. As I was going to say, the part of God begin to develop into something so human beings could have some type of an idea what it was. And it says a part of God began to develop. Now, God was not created. God already was. So therefore, what is being manifested here is absolutely a part of God, period. It is God. Now, watch. Now, God gave Himself birth to this Son, which was before there was even an Adam. And everything is made out of atoms. So what came forth is essentially God, at least a part of God, and I'll certainly buy that. The prophet said it's a part of God. And we're parts of God, very minute. But something of God, a portion, now begins to glow. Now God gave Himself birth to this Son. God gave Himself birth. Well, what's to give birth? Very simple. It means to issue forth. As birth is contingent to a conception, and all mental principle is conception, going through a period of gestation in order to issue forth. So God stayed in a position of ability to give birth and produced. Can you put it any better? I can't. I just got to believe it. He produced. Which was before there's an Adam. And Jesus said, glorify me, Father, with the glory that we had before the foundation of the world. Now listen. He writes paragraph 32. This is not in this book here, so I'm reading other. Now in John 1, he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God unfolding Himself down to human being. Now watch how He did it. Now back there then, when this little halo comes, now we can't see nothing yet, but just by eyes of just supernatural, we see a halo standing there. Now that's the Son of God, the Logos. And he said, if you make Jesus the Logos, you have got three gods. So Brother Branham is not talking Trinitarian language. He is using the name of Jesus the way he used it in Hebrews 3:13-8, the way Paul said, who art thou, Lord? And the voice said, I am Jesus, who is Jehovah of the Old Testament and Jesus of the New. And you're looking at strictly God. Now, I know it's over our heads and we go voying across here, but look, this is what the prophet said we're going to go into. We're not going to try to understand as though we're going to force issues. We are going to learn what the prophet said and talk about it, and we're going to stand on it, that this is our doctrine. Because I have found the people in this message don't understand Godhead for nothing, and I understand it very little. And if I have what the prophet said, which is the spirit of prophecy, it's a testimony to Jesus Christ, I've got to have something somewhere that lights in and shows me something. Now, you don't have to believe it. I don't care what you believe. Look, be my guest. Sit here and I'll be nice to you. You don't have to bring any food. I'll care and even feed you. But this is white throne, brother, sister. Whether you know it or not, I do. I do. And I'm serious about these things here. Now I can see him playing around like a little child before the Father's door with all eternity, see? And now then, in his imaginary makeup, he begins to think of what things would be, and I can hear him say, let there be light. Now he's talking right here about God in Christ creating all things. All things started right there when God begin to literally form. Which form he would bring right down to a human being. and then take it all back to glory. So you wonder what the value of a soul is? You see, Jesus died for it. Can't understand the things we're not here to. And as I've said before, we can make this message so academic, we can bring it down to where we understand things, and yet not have reality, and it become hard and dry, and eventually we'll blow away with it. Because let us understand this. Brother Branham said there's three kinds of believers. The unbeliever gets mad and walks off. The make-believer sticks around pretending. I believe the message is... And I'm not hitting anybody here. You know that. Look, I could be a make-believer myself. I don't know. Maybe I'm kidding myself. But the Branham message is full of make-believers and believers. And there aren't too many real believers. And you can tell. Amen. Because there's not this understanding in a sense where the word is. Now I'm quoting what the prophet said, and I'm looking at it. I don't pretend to understand it all, but I do know this one thing. Whatever came out of God is God, and pure and simple God, period. Brother Branham said, that was the Logos. He said, that was the Son of God, of whom it is said, let us make man in our own image. Now, let me look at my notes or something here. Okay, we go to Colossians 1 and 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now, this is, in my estimation, the very scripture Brother Branham uses, but he doesn't quote it all, John 17:5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self. Okay? What's this sound like? Say, now, Lee, you glorify me with yourself. I say, now let me see how this is done. I'm going to glorify you with myself. It means that I have got to come in a relationship with you whereof my person now overshadows and overcasts you so that you have intrinsically everything that is in me and I am glorious. You follow? Jesus came out of God and he said, now glorify me with your own self as in the beginning. So we are looking at, whether we want to or not, we are looking at God. And it is a great mystery. But let's take the mystery a little further, and we're beginning to see something here in the book of Hebrews. God, who in many parts and in many ways spake in times past unto the fathers in the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in Son. God in Son. God in Christ. God in Logos. And whatever would be there would be essentially and intrinsically all God, period. So that if you could dissect and separate, there would be nothing there that wasn't purely God. Or I'm reading it wrong. The last days God has spoken us in Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And of course that is predates Melchizedek there. Now watch. Who being the effulgence of his glory and the express image of his person, who being the literal outraying. So what is Brother Branham trying to tell us? God began to move in the literal outraying of Himself. Where in this simple maneuver, He would begin moving in a form which one day would put aside this glory, theophany. Huh? Yeah? Put it aside and take on a lesser form, a human blood, bone, tissue, human form, identified thoroughly with the Logos, which was rather the Zoe, which was in Him, and make a way for our salvation. Now, we go to John. We already talked about it, 1-5. In the beginning was the Word is with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now in Him was Zoe, which was the ability, not as Logos. Logos couldn't do it. He had to go beyond the Logos of the original, because Logos cannot be seen, though if it wants to be seen, it can be seen, can appear and disappear, but it has no relationship to what lies out here in you and me, in the sense of the tangible. It has a relationship, but not the tangible. So therefore, in the Logos was the ability to come to the place of tangibility, manifestation. And manifestation is light, which means, as Paul said, anything which manifests is light. In other words, gives understanding, gives knowledge, gives you the ability to apprehend. Hey, how warm is it in here? Check your thermometers. Now, if it's a little bit warm, I'm not exactly warm up here. Come on, get up and check those thermostats. Where are we at? Because I want you wide, wide awake. And if I got to freeze, I'm going to get you awake. Thank you. Now, I'm not fooling up here. Look at, please, if you've been up late last night, I'm sorry for you. But think, because remember, the word of the Lord comes to the mind. And unless your mind is thoroughly clogged with the Word, you get nowhere and I get nowhere. That's our trouble. We've got everything clogged but with the Word of God. Now, I was looking at here. Paul says, that which makes manifest is light. So therefore, God had everything in order and perfect out here, before He put a man in it. Man is the last of creation. Made in the image of God, spiritually, and made in the image of a man, of animal, physically. So now He's a conundrum. He's a real puzzle. So therefore, God had within Him, and did produce, the physical, and its manifestation is light. And everything, you can prove it by the fact that men will take and study a butterfly wing and write 6 volumes on it. Man will study a dog, ring bells, like the Russian psychiatrist. I read his name right now, it doesn't matter. And every time that rang a bell, he'd give the dog a morsel. Pretty soon the dog would salivate at the ringing of the bell. Every single thing that is tangible in the sense of being apprehended at least to a degree is light. The Zoe of God condemns every man because he knows there's a God. Because God is tangible in nature. And any jackass that says there is no God, and the fools and dupes that keep prayers out of the schools and allows everything else, they will burn in the deepest hell there ever was. And I will stand back and rejoice with God. And if you think I'm after men's blood, you this morning are ridiculous and you are in your folly. And do not know the judgment set in the land because of the Canaanites. That which makes manifest is light. So therefore God begins to be manifest somehow, some way in this great divine order of God, the great thinker, the great omniscient, with the omniscient bring to pass. All right, now listen. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Do you think Satan could get a hold of it? No way. Satan just thought he could get a hold of it and use God. That's what Pentecostals do right today in the charismatic. They'll pay their price for it. They ascend above the word. Now, with this, you will notice from the beginning, verse 14, and the word was made flesh. Not so, the word was not made flesh. The word became flesh. The word formed itself. Another piece of formation. Formed itself into flesh. And dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And the man that wrote this was John, who also wrote Jesus' prayer under inspiration. Glorify me with thyself. So we're looking at what God has done. Now, in other words, verse 14 is the finality of what verse 1 is all about. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word is with God, and the Word was God, and it all became flesh. You and I, the Son, the lesser sons, all of it. God himself became flesh. That's why you have the New Jerusalem exactly as it is according to Brother Branham when he brought us the message. Now, okay, I'll read some more notes here, and I hope we'll get through sometime, before Thanksgiving at least. All right, previous to the beginning of John 1 and 1, which became flesh in John 1, 14, there was in the major attribute of omniscience the plan to be John 1 and 14. John 1, 14 was the plan that God had in mind, and the only way it could become effective was by starting with John 1:1. So that's what he had in mind. The reason for John 1:14 as opposed to John 1:1 is found in Hebrews 2:9 plus and in Philippians 2:5-8. So let's go to Hebrews and read it. And we read it many times. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. We see Jesus made, formed a little lower. Formed, actually formed. He by the grace of God tasteth for every man. No, every son For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation purges every. Now, just a minute. It says in one scripture, Paul himself saying, all things were created by Jesus Christ, and it turns right around here and said, God did it. God was in Christ. Don't try to understand it all, just believe it. Brother Branham said, if God did a thing one way one time, he's got to keep on doing it. He's not God. Brothers of God in the form when God took on sonship. Sons of God. The whole thing becomes a family unit, which is indescribable. Saying, I'll declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing unto thee. And again I'll put my trust in him. And again, behold, I am the children which God hath given me. Notice what you see back and forth. God, Son. And yet they're indistinguishable almost entirely. For as much as the children are partakes of flesh and blood, he likewise took a part of the same, that through death he might overcome, bring to nothing him that the power of death, that's the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Why? Because they're in a flesh body. Jesus wasn't to begin with. He took not himself on the nature of angel, but he took on the seed of Abraham. He never came down by angels, he came down by mankind. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation things to people, and so on. Now, let's go back to Philippians. And let's see what the very same God in the very same man, here's what he's saying on the subject. Verse 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not a prize to grasp and retain, to equal with God, but made himself in a reputation, took upon the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man, humbled himself, and became obedient unto even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and gave him a name above every name. Now you're talking, here's a man here, you're talking about someone that was very, in the very beginning in God, the very one who said, I came out of God and I go back to God. The very one of whom Brother Branham said the Logos came out of God is the Son of God. That's not Trinitarian dogma. This is where they went haywire. They don't understand it. We'll see if we understand some. So, we notice in here, we read John 1:1-5. And we notice that John 14 is what John 1:5 is all about, which is identical to the end time revelation to the Laodicean church. In verse 14, unto the messenger of the church, which is Laodicea, write, these things saith the Omega, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the Alpha of God, the beginning of the creation of God, God finalizing his dealings with men in the human form, because it's all over for the human race. Every last one's in. So you see, the one in the beginning, way back there, see, before a speck of stardust, God beginning to form, the same one down here at the end time. With the same message. And that's what Ephesians 1 is all about, 17 to 23. All right. And notice in here, the reason for John 1:14 as opposed to John 1:1. Why did he become flesh? In order to redeem the sons that bypassed the theophany, came down here not as angels and so on, but in the flesh to be tempted, and in fallen condition, to bring them back to where they were, so that they, God doesn't only not lose one of them or us, we lose none of him. We don't miss one thing he has for us.
John 1:1, as we said, is described by Jesus in John 17:5. In the beginning was the Word is God, the Word was God. What else could it be if it came out of God? God. God, generic. God bringing forth sons. God bringing forth His life in many vessels. God taking a part of that life from many vessels. God taking that life and manifesting Himself. Now, let me see what I got written here. Try to find it. Don't even know where I put things. Oh, yes. Now, Hebrews 2:9-17, which we read, and especially verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one source. Therefore, Jesus is not ashamed to call us brethren because we've got the same daddy. Hebrews 2:9-17, especially verse 11, is based on Ephesians 1:3-6. Blessed be the God and Father, Lord Jesus Christ, blessed all spirits, blessed in places. According, now it's according, and no other reason. And this is the only reason. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before Him, in love having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, and according to good pleasure of will. In other words, we were already there. And the good pleasure of Almighty God was to put us in the process of foreknowledge right into predestination where we would manifest right down here and know that we're sons of God. Now, we can only know now, my brother, sister, because we have all loss of all memory back there because we didn't have a theophonic form. If people say, well, where did Brother Branham get it? He got it right from God. Oh, well, where's the Bible? Never mind. Shut your mouth. This is a vindicated prophet. So if you want to fuss, go ahead and fuss. You don't belong in the message. God's got no time for that nonsense. Let's look again. At Revelation, the 13th chapter. And begin to see this lovely thing here. And it's in the 8th verse. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship the devil, the Antichrist. Those whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. It tells you right there. Their names were in the book. And their names were there, but they couldn't be uttered. Then when God uttered the name, that sperm and that egg where the life is, because it's all one life, came from God, came from Adam. Okay, woman, just carry that man. It's all one. She's a part of him, just original. You can't get away from original. All one. God calls them by name, then you watch that child begin to form. And it forms right to the very end time, till the seed runs out. And every name on the book is there. And every one of those names comes into the kingdom and is child trained. Then comes the rapture. All right, now, let us note carefully that Ephesians 1:3-6 was all there in omniscience form. And all names were in the Lamb's book of life before they're spoken. I went through that. Thus we see all of this is a part of God Himself and is what is to be brought into manifestation. It's all a part of God. What's to be is brought to manifestation. So that all of it is of God. That's what the prophet said. Thus it is either God Himself or God in personal member attributes as He particularizes those members and calls them forth. And as He works His power and authority for His glory. In other words, it's been going on and on and on and on from the very beginning. It's going to continue to go on and on and on. All right. In this message, what we are looking at is how God Himself became flesh. At the same time, we see how Jesus, like us, the Son of God, was in the Father even as we were, as sons, or a sons of God, like little sons. We find that Jesus was given a form called the Word Body, and He entered into communion with God and knew all things. Says so right in John 17:5. But we did not come that way, and have no recollection of Job 38:4-7. Where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou have understanding. You can't do it. No memory. Who hath laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest? Or who has stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut up the sea with doors when it broke forth, as it issued out of the womb? When I made cloud of garments on, where were you? No recollection. All the sons of God were there. Let's go to Proverbs. I mean, pardon, Psalms. I like Psalms. If I ever reach it here. 139. Verse 18. Oh, 7. Starting at 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the winds of the morning and draw the north parts of the sea, even there thy hand shall lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. See? Can't get away from God. God loses none. If I say, surely darkness shall come, even the night shall be light about me. How can a child of God miss it? Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and darkness and the light both are like to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. The rest of the body doesn't know, just the soul. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, being yet unperfect, and in thy book all my members written, and in which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more than the number of the sand. When I wake, I'm still with thee. Tells you right there? You got no recollection of that. But if you're a born again child, you say, praise the Lord, that's me. So you got to understand. No, now, what we want to now see is, how we doing? You turned over a long time ago, I suppose. You ready for the third and fourth edition? What we want to see now is the relationship of God bringing Himself and His only begotten Son and all other sons into manifestation in flesh as the ultimate, though God Himself cannot be confined to the human form only. Now, you know that God's pillar of fire, he can be anything, number of things. But the ultimate is in flesh. You can't confine God, you see, just to that, though. Now, to get an understanding, we work backwards from the end to the beginning. Okay. Let me see my other notes over here. All right, now, before we begin to work them backwards to the beginning, because that's how you solve problems many times, we want to just break into our thinking here, where we were back with the understanding of John 1:1-5, and verse 14. And we notice that verse 14 is what John 1:1-5 is all about. Now, everybody wants to reverse that. They say, oh, great, wonderful God, hallelujah, just get lost, blither, blither, blither to God, oh, blither, blither, blither. Shut up and listen to what God wants to tell you. What He wants to tell you is John 1:14. That's what He's aiming at. The other is letting you in on the secrets of God and how God Himself in His plan is revealing and doing it all. And at the end time, that's going to be a fantastic revelation, because that's what Ephesians 1 is all about. 1:17 to about 23 is all about. See? So, now, it's the same as Revelation 3:14. It is that God, very God, began to create Himself into human flesh. He started the role of Son. Now, I'm going to my scripture and my understanding. I have nothing that Brother Branham said at this point. I do not know he ever said it. I don't know. I'll likely find it somewhere. It never has failed to this date, and I trust it won't fail this morning. But I want to give you fair warning. All right, we're talking about Son. Talking about Son. All right, God in the role of Son. We find the Son of God. We find Him in flesh. We find our greater brother, having sanctified us. We're of one source. We look at us. We look at the picture. We look at the picture. We can talk. So let's look at sons. Galatians, the 4th chapter. Verse 1. Now I say, the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Now it tells you right here, if you're a son, you are predestinated to fill a role of subservience. Sons must honor the fathers. The book of Galatians is full of sonship. See? But it's under tutors and governors until the appointed time of the father. All right? Even so, when we were children under bondage, the elements of the world. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made a woman in love. Fullness of what time? The time for the woman's seed. Not any other time. To redeem them were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons, be placed as sons. What sons? Those that have picked up their theophonic bodies and are thoroughly glorified. The Old Testament saints couldn't be, they had to wait for this. As soon as the blood was shed, they say, hallelujah. You get the glorified bodies. Came back looking like youngsters. Now watch. And because your sons, God has sent forth His Spirit into your heart, saying, crying, Abba, Father. And because you are Son of God, God sent the Spirit of immortality. Because you won't be heir to everything of God, according to Ephesians, until the fullness of time, it's all over. Now, the Bible speaks of Jesus being heir to all things, but it speaks of us being heir to all things. Okay. Wherefore, you are no more a servant, but a son. If a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ. Heir to what? Just as we talked about. Coming through the resurrection. The fullness of the adoption comes in the resurrection. The whole thing opens up. It's been opening up for years. Brother Branham showed it. He showed that his name on the check was as good as God's. God said, you said it. You said it. Say it again. Adoption. We're coming into our inheritance. We are going to leave behind all this muck and junk we know now, and we are going to shine in His glory, which we have forgotten entirely. Know nothing of. See? When, remember, Jesus said, you glorified me with yourself. What was ever talking inside of Jesus, I want to tell you, sure was all of God, brother said. You can say what you want. The outside was a man, but inside of there was something so different. And inside of us, there's something so different. Howbeit, when you knew God, you did service unto them which by nature know God. And so now after you've known God, or rather are known of God, you're turning into and so on. All right, now, just hold that in mind. With that, we go to Hebrews 10 and 7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. I have come to fulfill your word. Let's go to John 8. And Brother Branham explained this, and I'm so glad he did, because this really opens up a door to me. It's beautiful. 8 and 46. Which of you convince of me of sin? Which of you can say I did not fulfill every single letter of the word of God required of me? Then if I say the truth, which of you can confute me? Like Brother Branham said, stand up right here now on the Godhead. Come up here and get your Bibles. He said they were too smart. Right on the tape, he said they're too smart to come. They'd have carried them up feet first. Because the pillar of fire hung right there. deny there's one God? Try to make him three? Don't you kid yourself. There's one God, Holy Spirit. All right. With that, we go to Jeremiah 1 and 12. Then said the Lord to me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Philippians 2 and 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto even the death of the cross. Isaiah 53. Are you getting what I'm talking about? I hope you are. Should catch it on your own by now. John 14. In verse 10. Believest thou not him and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he also doeth the works. Let's go to Romans 14 to 18, 8 chapter Romans 14, 18. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not yet received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby you see Abba Father. The Spirit itself bears witness our spirit that we are the children of God, and your children then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, we may be glorified. Now he's telling you right there, you are not under bondage, so therefore your suffering is not a matter of bondage or some infliction of God. It is the walking in the Spirit, which is the revealed word. For I reckon the sufferings of this present time. What sufferings? The greatest battle ever fought. The bending to the Word is nothing to be compared with the glory that you're looking at to the future. Starting with the theophonic form when you leave here. For the earnest expectation of creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God for the first resurrection. And so on. Now, with that, 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 40, just for a picture. There are celestial bodies, bodies terrestrial, the glory of celestial one, the glory of terrestrial another. There is one glory of the sun, the glory of the moon, the glory of the stars, the glory in one star different from another star. So also is the resurrection of the dead. In other words, there is a challenging scale of glory in God's great kingdom. We're looking at it all. So, here's what I derive from this. That sonship that the office of son that God in sonship is God contriving by his own omniscience and by his own sovereignty, which is grace, causes himself in whatever mode he chooses and whatever condition that he will abide by his word, be subservient to it. Therefore, that is God in sonship. Now you understand what I'm saying. I don't know where Brother Branham said it. I don't know any living man ever said it. I am just going by the only way I can go by, which is Scripture. And if God is indeed in three offices, then Almighty God is in the form of sonship when he creates. And he stands by and manifests his word, even though he is Father as the ultimate, which is the progenitor. I don't know. You follow what I'm saying? Some of you say you don't because you just look at me. I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all. Let's try to go over it, see what I got in mind. All right, look. God. He's sovereign. (Clears There is nothing above God. And we understand by the Hebrew and the Greek that God is equated to His Word. That's why if the Word is in the prophet, God is literally in the prophet. Although Brother Branham did say the pillar of fire standing up inside of me. God is equated to His Word, His own Word. Okay. Now, He stands behind this little translation, His Word, to perform it. Elohim. The strong one bound by an oath. God swore by Himself. That's you see what I'm looking at? We're looking at the Father in sovereignty. The great conceiver, progenitor of the whole plan. The minute the plan goes into action and manifestation, I see now God in form of sonship. I don't know if I'm right or wrong. I'm just doing my best. But the Bible runs in continuity. He said, I came to do thy will, O God. And that was the epitome of sonship, where God was finally joined with man, and He came to do only one thing, which was His Word. And a son is obligated to the Word. How can anybody say, call himself a son of God and not believe the divine revelation and not obey it? The Holy Spirit given to bring the bodies into subjection. And sons must bring their bodies into subjection to the Word by the Holy Ghost, because that's what the whole thing is about. And in doing it, it presages that you and I will be in the resurrection, because it's given to make us immortal. So you see what I'm talking about now? God in sonship. You don't have to believe it. It's all right. It works pretty good anyway. Amen. He manifested Himself in a human body. Now let's look at it again. I beg your pardon. Hebrews, the first chapter. How much time we got? Oh, that's not bad. Just got another tape ready. I don't think I'm going to quit yet. Maybe I will. I'll see you. All right. God, who at sundry times was in the prophets, speaking to the fathers, in this last time, this hour in which we're talking about, God came down in the form of His own Son, a human being, whom He made heir of all things. What is an heir of all things? He's the Son. How is He an heir? Because He fulfilled the Word of God, proving His sonship. God made all things by Him. God was in Christ. Don't have to understand it, just believe it. You're not going to sit here and think it all the way through. Before, so I'm going to read you some real mind-boggling things the prophet said. You sit there and think it over. So you can think over what the prophet said and believe what I'm teaching you, or just sit there and say, boop, and go to pieces. Because you will. You just got to believe. I'm not preaching anymore trying to really understand things. I'm just doing my best to line up and doing my own thinking also. Now listen, this one. Who being the outraying of His glory, the outraying of the true essentiality and assessment of what God is, what He was, and what He will be, which is never changing God. So here in the beginning, God, outraged. All right, light comes from the sun, right? What makes that light? Bursting atoms. Huh? The sun in another form. All of it? No! Part of it. Think it over. The express image of his person. An absolute, perfect reproduction. As if God cloned himself. He brought forth a son. Find me in one place I failed. To be perfect God. One place failed to be perfect man. I don't know. Can't figure it, but it's there. All right. Now, notice what Jesus said when he said it in John 8 and 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you'd love me because you'd be my brothers. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. So I want to tell you something. I came right out of God. And I wouldn't have come down here except he sent me and I'm an obedient son. Huh? Sons are obedient. What to the word? Now you see, if you'd have had a word body, you'd have been nothing but obedient. You come down here in a physical body, you're not obedient. But being an eagle, the eagle cry rouses you, and you turn to God, and the Holy Spirit helps us to be fully under obedience to God. Subject. Body, soul, and spirit. I know it's tough preaching, but I got to preach the truth. If we all go to hell, I'm going to preach the truth, brother, sister, because that's the Bible. John 16. Where if we miss it, there's somebody else who ain't going to miss it. These tapes go around the world pretty well. John 16, 27, 28. The Father himself loveth you because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. Now what came out from God? God! The essentiality of that part of God. Put it in parts. Brother Branham said part, I'll go with part. 28, I came forth from the Father. And he's the Son. And I'm come into the world. Again, I leave the world. And I go to the Father. And the only begotten is in the bosom of the Father. And the word bosom can mean river. He's in the channel of the Father. The divine flow. Because the fullness of the Godhead was in Christ. All the attributes. Not like you and me, a little teeny bit. You a little attribute this morning. To give cheerfully. To forgive cheerfully. To bake a cake for somebody. To draw a glass of water. To speak in a tongue. Maybe. To interpret. Maybe. To prophesy. Who knows? Be a deacon. Be an elder. Minister. A good housewife. Wonderful mother. Who knows? See? All right. I came forth. Now, the word coming forth means to issue, which means to be born. It's actually a birth. God gave himself birth to this son. Where did you read the other part here? Yeah. The part of God began to develop into something so human beings could have a type of an idea of what he was in spirit. So that at that time, God gave himself birth to this son. Which had to be essentially, as it says in John, God, because that's all there was there. Form. I still don't understand. Who cares to understand? I keep repeating it and repeating it, and I believe it. And I say, hey, that's great. I love it. Do you understand it? I don't have to understand it. I can turn the lights on. Don't tell me about one phase, two phase, three phase, four phase, and five phase. All I know is two phases. Most people are two-phased. Care less. I don't care about it. What do I care about all that stuff? I learned this what it says here. I praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I like it. Where are we going now? Oh, yes. Now, the key, as I mentioned, is going backward to the beginning. And the key, because in the last day, God finished the conceived plan of Himself in sonship, in Jesus. See, God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. God was in Christ mediating. God was in Christ. God was in Logos. God was in a form. God was in something that came out of God. That's why God gets down into our souls, because they came out of God. That's the Holy Spirit come in to fill our bodies, touch the cells. It's wonderful what He does. Now listen. Also, He called Himself the only begotten Son. Let's go to John 1 and 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And that word, only begotten, means only one could ever be born that way. No other one was. And this is, you see, where the Son is equal to the Father. Name on the checkbook, absolutely. Only this one could be that way at this particular time. All right, verse 18. No man has seen God any time, only the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, had led Him forth. John 3, 16. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, whoever believed in Him should not perish. Now listen, He couldn't believe in you and me. And if the Pope could prove He was a Son of God, you can't believe in the Pope. Can't believe in a church. You can't believe in William Branham. You believe what's beyond William Branham. Now let's look at organization, the Catholic Church. What's beyond the Pope? An organization. What's beyond the Protestants? Organization. What's beyond us? God! Would you turn that down for all that crud? That filth? No wonder you can see the abomination today riding high. Everything is organized. They'll put us out of it. Now, happy, let them have the church. Bless God. How we could do to fool them? We could organize your own fire department and burn it down as a practicing. Don't put it past my evil intent. You're not looking at a saint up here, looking kind of a heat. Not that I'm going to do it. The 18th verse. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. Not sons. I believe in Peter. Peter pray. I believe in Mary. Mary pray. I believe in Stephen. Stephen pray. I believe in Elmo. He's the patron saint of the sailors. I believe in Elmo. I'm drowning. Let him pray. Hogwash. I'll give you a nickel a dozen. I speak as a man, not a servant to God now. Those people, servants of God, will I now debase them by putting them in competition to Christ? Oh, God, have mercy. Such illegitimacy I've never heard of, except under now. This is begotten in the sense that no other one would be begotten as He was, none other like Him. Let us read in John, 1 John 4 and 9. We see the same thing again. Ready to turn. Twitch the light on. I'll see if I can see it. A little bit of food out there. You can all, if you're really starving, we'll go feed you a little bit out there. If you ain't starving, I ain't going to feed you. I'm going to hold you a while, see? 1 John 4 and 9. All right. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Therefore, He was already previous to it and sent into it. You understand? All right, now with that, we're going to go to John, 5th chapter. And look at verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And every one that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. You love Jesus, the big brother, and all the little kids. Notice, this word is now simply procreated. This is not only begotten now. This is simply procreated. In other words, you go back to your Genesis. You go back to your generic beginning. You go back to God. God creating a race out of himself. A kingship. With the head one. With the bride governing and ruling. With the others out there in their order. So that everything manifests God. My, what's coming is simply fantastic. Let's keep reading. The 18th verse now of John, 1 John 5. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God, procreated, conceived, keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Now we know here that nothing was that God alone, that Jesus Christ alone, was the man living above sin. And with the help of the Holy Ghost, we begin to try to live above sin. As Brother Branham said, we try to live above it. All right, now, in 1 John 4 and 9, we see only begotten. But in 1 John 5, 1 and 18, we see procreated. The word is procreated, not only begotten. Now, Hebrews 2, 9 to 19, which is Christ in the midst of his church, which is John 1, 14 explained why he became flesh. See? Now then, we saw how Jesus came down, John 17, 5, a body of glory, of which was the true essentiality of Jesus Christ. Now, we said here, as we go from the begin to the beginning, you begin to learn things. So we're going to work backwards. The end that God has in mind, and I won't have to read it to you because you know it. What he had in mind was Hebrews 2, 10 to 11, which was the many sons under glory. See? And with it, John 17 and 20, which we didn't read, so we're going to read now. Neither pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may all be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me have I given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know thou hast sent me, and thou hast loved me, as thou hast loved them, as thou hast loved me. Now, I don't understand that all about the world may know this and that. That could be after the whole thing is over at the white throne. But I know one thing. This is what he said. So you see, God, generically, is the Father. And he began begetting many sons by himself, taking on sonship, producing that son, all of us being in him. Now, we are in God to begin with. Otherwise, how did he get into Christ? Because that is essentially God. Yeah. Turn over. Now, with that, we understand what we read over there. Let's go to... New earth. And the first heaven, when the first year passed away, and there's no more sea. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. That's Jesus, the Lamb. And he'll dwell with men. And what was in the Lamb? God. Just like at the River Jordan, at the wedding supper. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall have all tear from their eyes, and shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said, write, these are the words, these words are faithful and true. And it is done. Now, verse 9. And there came to me one of the seven angels that had the seven plagues full of the vials full of the seven last plagues, and taught me, saying, come here, I'll show you the bride, the Lamb's way. All the sons of God were their Lamb's book of life. See? The Lamb's book of life is the Lamb's way. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great and city, the holy Jerusalem, just descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even as jasper stone. In other words, a complete reflection of God was manifested. just the same as over here in Revelation, the 5th chapter. Let's go to the 4th chapter first. Well, we can read the 5th first. four, 1-3. After this I looked, and behold, the doors opened in heaven, and the first voice that I heard was, as it were, a trumpet talking to me, said, "Come up hither, and I'll show thee things that will be hereafter." Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat in the throne, and he that sat was looked upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and a rainbow of the throne like an emerald. What gave the holy city the light? God itself, God shining for it. Like rainbows and jewels, gems, wonderful. See? In there. And notice that verse 1 is the throne of God. There it is. And in verse 2 and 3, which we read, is the same as in Revelation 5, 1-7. And I saw on the right hand that sat upon the throne a book written in, and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven or in the earth or under the earth was able to open the book, neither look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, have you been able to open the book and loose the 7 seals thereof? And I beheld, in the midst of the throne, and of the 4 beasts, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand and sat upon the throne." Now, my brother, sister, you will notice in what we have read here, in Revelation 21, 1-6, God is ministering to his people. God is ministering to his people. In Revelation 22 and 3, the kingdom of priests are ministering to God. What I'm driving at is this, according to Brother Branham in the Future Home. 1, the bride is the new Jerusalem and ministers to the groom, the Lamb. 2, the Lamb is on the throne and the bride is seated with him. And he's between the pillar of fire, which is God. So, what we see here are 3 manifestations. Number 1. God in the pillar of fire, entirely and only somehow, this is all God. The pillar of fire came out of God and is therefore God manifested. The fire is a theophany. Our God is a consuming fire. 2, the Lamb, this is the one in whom all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. This is the only begotten Son, known as the Son of Man, the Son of David. His description is again what we read in Hebrews 1:1-9. Last day spoken us in Son, who being the effulgence, the brightness, the outraying of his glory, the express image of the person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he purged, had by himself purged our sins, sat down the right hand, majesty high. Being made so much better than angels, he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent sacrifice name than they. For unto which of the angels said in any time, "Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee, procreated thee." And again, "I'll be to him a father, he shall be to me a son." And again, when he bringeth forth the first begotten of the world, he said, "Let all the angels of God worship him." The angels, he said, "Who maketh his angel spirits, and he ministers flame of fire?" But unto the Son he said, "Thy throne, O God, the object of worship, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." How are you going to get away from the fact there is one God and he had a son? And he brought that son out of himself. And that is not a fountain giving forth 3 personalities, of which one is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But it sure sounds awful close to it. But there isn't any Holy Ghost, because that's what it is. So Brother Branham said we stood between oneness and Trinity. Does that mean we believe in 2 gods? No. Jesus had a beginning. But we see God acting through that beginning, that one. Now, we are admonished to consider, now listen, we are admonished, having read Hebrews, who this one is, to consider what? Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers, heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ. We're now told to consider him. Let's go to 4:14. Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, the Son of God. And you can't be a priest of men unto God unless you are a man. And you cannot be a priest unto men unless you are God. Hold your finger there. And let me read you according to the book of Luke, the first chapter, concerning what the angel said about John the Baptist. And John the Baptist shall go before the Lord God of Israel in the power and spirit of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers, even the disobedient, the wisdom of the just, to make ready the prepared people of the Lord. John the Baptist would herald God manifest in flesh in his own body, which he gave to himself through taking his own life and forming around that life a child through the chemical means of Mary's body. But I want to tell you something. God being God, and he brought forth that one. Let's look at the picture. Take it down to humanity. I'll go back to reading. Take it down to humanity. What are you to begin with? A life. A life that a microscope cannot see and nothing can see. There'll be never anything built to ever see it. It's impossible. You cannot see life. You can see manifestation. Is it strange? Now listen. God put the animals in spirit form before they were physical, the same as you and me. When he took them from the spirit form to the physical, they became animal and spirit form. When he took us from the spirit form to the physical, we became spirit and animal. It was in the form of the spirit, he said, be fruitful and multiply, showing that life can multiply, but to be manifested, it has to have a form. And God wanted the form to propagate so they'd be individuals and not indiscriminate life, because he was going to bring forth individuals through the stream of life. Why could not God do the same thing? Could he not bring forth a son in his entire image, but be not God himself? An image, brother, sister, is not the real thing, and a son is not the father. We are not looking at some Trinity doctrine of the gods where you see a woman with a baby on its lap and the caption said, the son is the husband of the mother. No. We are merely seeing God in a role. And it was God in the son. God obeying, God forming his own word, God obedient to his own word, God obedient to his home plan. That's exactly why he could be Savior. That's why he could shed his blood. That's why he could suffer. That's why he could die. That's why he could rise again. All the things Brother Branham said come to pass. And with an understanding, though not perfect, we can see it this morning. I hope you can, because I can see it. Now in Hebrews 4:14 we read, seeing that we have such a great high priest that is passed in us, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Jesus was the Son of God. He certainly was. All right, Hebrews, the 5th chapter and the 10th verse. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And not stopping there, but going back to 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter 5 and 6, and it says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Yet God did his own mediating. God did his own saving. How did he do it? Not with three gods. You bet he didn't. He did it by God taking on a form, God changing his mask, but God being in it, and by what hid him, revealed him, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time to the very thing. All right, this one is Messiah Christ, and we noted him, as we did note of him, in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, 18 to 19, that God was in Christ. Now then, look. Hebrews 1. God went in the prophets and spoke to the people. Then God went into the Son. It's his words I say. It's his works I do. He tells me what to say. You're hearing His voice. He that's seen me has seen the Father. Right down the line. Every one of these things come out perfect the way it is. Now, so here we see the only begotten Son. And what are we looking at? We are looking at the Lamb on the throne. Now notice what we talked about. Lamb on the throne, pillar of fire above the throne, the Lamb seated with Christ. And with Him and comprising the city are the brethren. All the other sons of God were predestinated to it. Number four, outside the city are all the others whose names, though not in the Lamb's book of life, are in the book of life, as Brother Branham said, the wise are in the book of life, Lamb's book of life, and the foolish are in the book of life. But they are cut of the same piece of cloth, and they will come up in the resurrection in their divine order. So let's look at 2 Timothy, the second chapter. Now, I hope you're still staying awake and listening, because I want to finish this off. I don't want to take any more time, at least at this particular point. 2 Timothy 2:19 to 21. Now listen to it. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth forever in this seal. The Lord knoweth them which are His. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. For in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also wood and of earth, and to some to honor and some to dishonor. And it tells you right there, God has all kinds of people making up His retinue. And they'll be right in the throne. They'll be lesser down. They'll be all scattered out there. But it's all going to be God, sacred vessels unto Almighty God. Notice also in Romans, we find the very same thing, Romans the 9th chapter. 19 to 21. Wilt thou then save me? Why doth God find fault? For after who has resisted His will? Nay, but O man, who are you to reply against God? Shall the thing formed seem to him before? Why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel to honor and one to dishonor? Can God make a Peter? Can God make a Paul? And then make people like you and me? And we stand back and say, well, God, you certainly blew it. Why didn't you make me instead of Paul? I said, shut up and sit down. You know, my little finger doesn't cry out against my eyeball and my eyeball against my little finger. The only time there's a cry out is when one of them gets hurt. But my body's in harmony, or should be, and so should yours. Even marriage is the same way. Man ought to love his wife as he loves his own body. You know, they sure do love their bodies, the way they shave and perfume up and do everything else, don't they? There you are. Okay. Now, let's get back here. No, we aren't going to get back there. Let me get my... what I'm here. All right, here we're going to read. I think. Let's see, that's that. That's that. That's that. That isn't that. Give me a little time up here if you don't mind. I got some pages up here. Okay. He's talking about creation. Now, if God created man in His own image and His own likeness, what kind of a man did He create? A spirit man. Now, if you notice, after He made all the creation and created a spirit man, the close reading of this now to the one that asked the question, you'll find this, that God gave him dominion over the cattle, fishes, and everything were obedient to man. But in His making him up, He made man in His own image to lead the cattle, lead the beasts of the field, just like the Holy Spirit leads the believer today. He was, in other words, Adam, the first man in the lower creations of God. The first creation was God Himself. Then out of God came the Logos, which was the Son of God. Then out of the Logos, which was the Word, came forth the man, right down to Jesus. Oh, I got a beautiful picture in my mind. Now, if you can take a little trip with me, I believe I've talked on it before, but to get the place, you're sure to be see it. Now, let's take a little trip and go back for a little while. Now, don't think about how odd it is. Get your minds on what we're going to talk about. Let's go back 100 million years before there was a moon, a star, anything in the world. Now, there was a time when there wasn't anything. It was just forever and eternity. And all of ever and eternity was God. He was there in the beginning. Now, let's go up to the edge of this banister and look over and see how things happen. Now, no man has seen the Father at any time. No man can see God in the bodily form, because God is not in the body form, God is spirit. See, all right, no man has seen the Father, but the only begotten the Father declared Him, 1 John. Now notice, there's nothing there, just space. There's no light, there's no dark, nothing. Just nothing. But in there is a great supernatural being, Jehovah God, who covered all space and all places and all times. He was from everlasting. He is the beginning of creation. That's God. Can't see anything, can't hear anything, can't move, no air moving, nothing, nothing, just God. Yet there was God. That was God. Now watch. No man has seen that. Now that's the Father. That's God the Father. Now notice. After a little while, I see a little sacred light begin to form like a little halo or something you could see only by spiritual eyes. But look now, we're looking at the whole church now. The whole church is looking. We're standing on a great big banister watching what God's doing, and he gets right down to the question here, and you'll see how he brings it in. No one has seen God. And now the next thing we begin to see by eyes of spiritual looking, we see a little white light forming out there. What is that? That to the Bible readers, Logos, or the anointing, or the anointed, as I was going to say, the part of God begin to develop into something so human beings could have some type of an idea what it was. See, you're aiming toward the human being. It was a little old, little light moving. That was the word of God. That's Logos. Now, God gave himself birth to this son, which was before there was even an atom. And that's what I said. If I take a chunk of iron out of a chunk of iron, it's iron. If I take a baby out of a woman, it's a human being. If I take something out of God, it has got to be intrinsically whatever God is, but it doesn't necessarily be God in the sense of the fatherhood. It becomes lower because it's in the sense of sonship. And when you talk about son, you go to obedience. You talk about obedience, you go to the Word. You talk about God and son, you see in the sonship, God was in the Word. He was in a human form, fully obeying the entire Word. 100% obedient. That's why God doesn't expect obedience. That's what took God himself obedient to God. Now, we get obedient on the grounds of the Holy Spirit helping us. Now, in John 1:1, the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word made flesh and dwelt among us, God unfolding himself down to human being. Now, watch how he did it. Now back there, when this little halo comes now, we can't see anything yet, just by supernaturally looking, see a halo there. Now that's the Son of God, the Logos. Now I can see him playing around like a little child before the Father's door with all eternity, see? Now then, in his imaginary makeup, he begins to think of what things would be, and I can hear him say, let there be light. Now when he says imaginary makeup, I think what he is saying is we are talking in an imaginary way. But you cannot talk about this really going on if that's imaginary. And you blew the whole thing. Because God's not imagination. You can't imagine a thing about him. What you're looking at is going back to see how things were. And then take it to the Word and you'll see how things are. And when he did, an atom burst and the sun came out, it came into existence. She whirled up for 100 millions of years, forming clinkers and burning and forming like it is today, was still burning, still breaking atoms. If the atomic bomb would ever let loose the atomic chain, this earth would be like the sun yonder, just bursting and blowing. Now watch this, beautiful. Now he made the sun, then the first thing you know, a big clinker fell off it. Just about like this earth. It went spewing down there. Then this Logos here, now the Son of God is watching it, lets it fall 100 million years, he stops it. And then another flies off, he lets it, it flew off, falling 100 million years and so. Now we're watching things come into existence. Now he's got something in his mind, what's he doing? He's writing his first Bible. The first Bible that man ever looked was in the stars, the zodiac. See what it is? It's in the record, then he puts it out there in speaks it and puts it out into a form, just like he said us. It dovetails with the Zodiac of the Bible here. Starts off the first sign, the Virgin. Is that right? Last sign is what? Leo the Lion. That's the first coming, came through Virgin. The second comes the Lion, tribe of Judah. Drew it all out, the Cancer, H, everything right on down. All these meteors, pieces of the earth, and so on, hanging there. Now, when science goes to looking at for those missiles that fall, that don't disprove God. That just proves it to me, see? That just makes it more real. Now notice all these missiles hanging out there from that hot sun and going through the air. I think it means comets and things that, of course, things they've collected. And the first thing you know, it just was an iceberg. It started as an iceberg. Now, this was the earth come into existence. Just a big old piece of cinder flew off yonder. Down beneath it now, something turning, burning volcano completely. They erupt and the earth is there volcanic. And science claims that this world, the crust on top of it, where we live, is just about like a pea or an apple. And all below it, there's 25,000 miles round, probably 8,000 miles thick, is a burning volcano. Two-thirds of the earth, better than two-thirds, is water, and one-third land, about just about a third. Now look at the crust we're living on. It's full of dangerous explosive gases and oil, everything like that, right? Sulfur and those things. The two-thirds of it, better than two-thirds water. What's the form of water? Hydrogen and oxygen. They're explosives, both of them, right? There's enough electricity in every room to separate the heat and the cold. It'll make enough electricity to burst a room. You can put enough atoms in the golf ball to blow New York off the face of the earth. Then man sitting on a pot of hell hits himself in the chest and defies God's word. Hell is beneath us. Now notice, but now when this first was found out, when Jesus, now watch the little halo yonder. Now I can see it move out to this earth and get over the top of it and begin to move over it closest on. That's what it said, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. I think that's got in mind. It's nothing but a big ball of ice. And when it begins to, it gets to melting, then a great big glacier cuts through the Northlands and comes down, and Kansas cut out, Texas cut out, all the places right down the Gulf of Mexico. And the first thing you know, the whole thing covers the water. Now we go to Genesis 1:1. We get the Bible now. The world without form and void, and water upon the face of the deep. Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water, separates the water and water, and the earth dried off. Vegetation, everything. He made the moon, set the boundaries, and so on. He got all these things together, made all the other things, like animal life, bird life, bees, monkeys, whatever it was on earth. Then asked the question, let us make man our image. Now, if a man was made something like that little sacred light yonder, something like that, it could not be seen, which is a spiritual being. He manifested or unfolded himself a little more to make a trinity of himself by Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And here was God unfold himself now down into let us make man, which was his son, an offering from him, man in our own image. He was a spiritual being, and let him have the manure, the cattle, the field, and so on. Now, the man led the cattle, everything, like the Holy Spirit leads a real believer today. The voice of God out there, the voice of man rather, could speak and say, call the cattle this way, call the sheep this way, and the fish over this water, and so on. He had dominion, he obeyed him. Now, but then there was no man to till the soil, Genesis 2. Then God formed man out of the dust of the earth. Now we follow it, he formed him out of the dust of the earth and put this supernatural spirit in him, I suppose he means to say. Now he was lying there. I have many pictures how it was, but let's take this picture. Adam standing there is just like a tree with its roots in the ground. And God said, let there be. He breathed the breath of life into him, and he jumped. He came to himself, and he breathed in the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Now he began to move and move on. Now then God took up his side a piece of rib and made a woman. Now where did he get the spirit? Woman, see? In Genesis, he let us make man our own image after our own likeness, create the male and female. He made the birdish spirit for man, the tender little delicate feminine spirit for the woman. Then he talks about her. For a bit we can just miss that. Now back there when this little halo comes, now we can't see anything yet, but just by our eyes, just supernatural, see a halo standing there. Now that's the Son of God, the Logos. Now he said that. Now a prophet can't change his mind and say, well, I know better now. See, because the Logos came out of God. Intrinsically, absolutely gone. God was in it. Now I can see him playing around like a little child around the Father's door with all eternity, see? And then on imaginary makeup, he began to think of what he would say, and let there be light. And when he did, an atom burst and came, and the sun came into existence. She worked for hundreds of millions of years, falling clinkers and so on, and breaking down the atoms, and so on, right down the line there. Now, let me see here. I want to get... Okay. So anyway, he got the creation of man and woman. He knew he was going to make the woman he knew he was going to have some women. So he just made their spirit right there. I don't know what she's really all talking about there. He created man, the prefigured male and female. And then God made man in his own image. This body's not the image of God. This body's the image of beasts. Now that's what we're looking at. They're mammals. Now notice God knew in the beginning that he was going to have men and women, and knew that Christ would be here, and he'd have to bring Jesus, and he'd be crucified, and Jesus told the disciples when he was here on earth that he knew them even before the foundation of the world, before the world of existence. Especially did he tell them before Abraham was I am. And God said also, Paul speaking in Ephesians, that we were in Christ before the world began. He said, that's pretty good, isn't it? That's wonderful. Before the foundation of the world, God knew Ormond Neville knew he'd be preached the gospel, isn't that wonderful? Has chosen. Why? He has members of the church, and God knew he's going to have that church. He said, Paul speaking to the church in Ephesus, he has chosen us in him. Now, we're all the members of the body of Christ. Is that right? And God, before the world was formed, chose you and me in him before the world was ever formed. My, isn't that wonderful? Now, the first man, now he made the first man in his image, and we're returning back to that image. That's right, to the first created image. We're turning back to it. When God created me, William Branham, I was before the foundation of the world. He made my being, my spirit. I wasn't conscious of anything as far as I know, but I was there. Oh, I don't believe you're getting it. But now, just a minute. Jesus told the disciples he knew them before the foundation of the world. And Paul said here, chosen in him before the world began. Now, there was some part of me, Ormond Neville, and the rest of you all here, that's in Jesus before the world ever began. And here's to my analysis of that. I think that the people today that are possessed with this spirit or the spirit are part of those angelic beings, spirits that rotated off of God, that never fell in the beginning and rested and resisted the devil's lie in heaven. Now, that's what he's preaching at that point. I can go along with that. I just don't let it bother me. In other words, he said that those angelic beings rotated off of God. Now, if they rotated off of God, and they are spirits and we are a part of that, that's something I don't understand, and I'm going to leave it at that point. And he talks about two-thirds of the earth is in sin, two-thirds was underwater and so on. Two-thirds of the angels fell, were kicked out, and those are demons. They come and they inhabit people. Those spirits that were made up back there when God began to make man off there in his own image, created those supernatural beings, those spirits, and he put man in the dust of the earth, which was the first man, Adam. And that man was made after the image. The human man here is made after the image of an animal. So he talks about that again. The human bodies are made in the image of animals. We got a hand like a monkey, foot like a bear. And he said, talks a little baby bear and skin a little child. They're identical. If you take the Holy Ghost off a man, he's lower than the animal. He's lower, worse than animal. That's a hard thing to say, but if you take man that's unregenerated in his mind, without the Holy Spirit to direct him, his thoughts, things like that, he would throw a baby out of his mother's arms and ravish her with beastly lust. That's exactly true, and that happens all the time. A woman that's no good, take an old hog, mother hog, an old dog, give it all kinds of names, but her morals are just for her puppies and the hog for piggies, but an ordinary, no-account woman is just filth all the time. That's right. Remember, you're without Christ, your morals can drop below them, those of animals. Dogs don't have to wear clothes to cover themselves, no other animal. It was man that fell, not the animal life. But the animal life being under the man, human life, was substituted because man was his guide and his supreme leader, and every beast of the field fears a man. And he talks about animals fearing man. But notice now, the man when he came down here, now look, now what is that about Brother Branham? Now here you get God in just exactly and in between oneness and Trinity. You'll get the thing just exactly right now. That's his quote. And he doesn't explain it. He says himself, he said, I know what I mean, but I don't know how to explain it. Look, when God dropped, unfolded himself down until he come down to this man. Now, man, he doesn't explain it any more than that. Now, man sinned not in his spirit, but in his body, lust and passion. Now, remember, he told you that. Because that which is born of God doesn't sin. Then he sinned to separate himself from God. It was in the body. Then God, the Logos, the very creator of him, came down and was made in the image of man. Took on himself the animal form. Man was made in the image of God, and then he was made in the image of a beast, and he fell. And God came down the image of man, in the man Christ Jesus, to suffer pain. God could not suffer pain in the spirit. How could he suffer physical pain in the spirit? He couldn't do it. So God unfolded himself and was made in the image of man to redeem the man that was lost. Then God suffered in the flesh, without controversy. That's the argument. Great is the mystery of Godness. For God is manifest in the flesh, seen of angels, preached on, crucified, believed on, received up to heaven the right hand of God. You see, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. See, what is love? The love of God. Now that's where Brother Branham... Let's see. Then God made the man not in his own image. This body is not the image of God. This body is the image of beast. Now notice. So that's what he says here. Now that's where Brother Branham ends this on this dissertation when he goes way back. Now, there's no way at this point, with all the scripture I've quoted, that I can give you a direct statement that you can take with you and prove to any Trinitarian or any oneness that he's wrong and we are right. I cannot take what Brother Branham said and apply the scripture as I've done it to the extent that we can put it in a nutshell and make an article of faith. Brother Branham didn't do it. Now, before we close, I want to read, and then we'll go back to studying where we were before. I want to go to paragraph 68. I can find it here. Okay, now the difference between him and you is the Son. See, he was at the beginning, the Word, on morpho body. He came and lived in that person, in that person of Melchizedek. Now, he's talking about Jesus there. We're talking physical. Then later, we never heard any more of Melchizedek because he became Jesus Christ. Melchizedek was the priest, but he became Jesus Christ. And you bypassed all of that. Now, I want to go to page 19. We haven't come that far yet. And I want to read paragraph 95, where Brother Branham is talking of the theophonic form that was seen by the Witch of Endor and different ones. And now he comes down here concerning what the seals have brought to his attention. Now the true revelation of Melchizedek comes into view is that he was God, the Word, before he became flesh, God the Word, because he had to be. No one else could be immortal like him. See, I had father and mother. You did too. Jesus had father and mother. But this man had no father or no mother. Jesus had a time he started. This man didn't. Jesus gave his life. This man couldn't, because he was life. And it's the same man or person or God all the time. I hope God reveals it to you. It's the self-same person all the time. Now there is the mystery. There's the conundrum. And the answer simply lies in one thing. That whatever you know about God in sonship, whatever you know about the beginning, or you don't know about the beginning, there is one thing you do know, that God was in Christ, period. And it was the life of God generically that brought forth this one in whom he was. So this one is the only begotten Son of God. And God was in him the same as he was in the anointing, the pillar of fire that hung over Israel. And there he came as God hovering the people. But this one that we saw who came to do the will of God, there is only one who can do the will of God, and that is God himself. I stand behind my word to perform it. So therefore, God in the form of sonship, God in Christ gave his life. We can understand that. To go beyond that at this point, I can't do it. But I want you to rest with me today and understand. We are not oneness. We are not threeness. We are not two-ness. That's too fishy, if you want to know the truth. Anything like fish stinks. I'm not being sad.